Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
She drove an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot tan TV, the one we saw in episode 4.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Revenge of the Sith, 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I am Tony Consiglio from Tony Consiglio. That's it. No, there's no .com at the end.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's prestige, but you don't even need a .com at the end.
Just look it up.
Type it into you. You don't even need to open a browser. Just type it on your computer.
Exactly.
Or no, people ask, where can
I? People say, where can I find you? And you know what I say? I say, I'm right here.
Aw. I was inside you all along.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Welcome, Tony. You're people were worried that you weren't gonna make it on this season.
I am so happy when I put people's thoughts in peril when they worry. Is he gonna be there? Is he not? And I sit back and I just laugh and laugh. If they only knew.
Yeah, it's a ring theory, of course, appropriately. You were our first guest, and so now you'll be our last guest of the Lucas era.
Wow. Well,
thank you very much, guys. That's very kind of you to invite me back. I look forward to it. I look forward to what we're about to do right now.
Hmm. Who'd have guessed all those years ago that we would have gotten through all the way through the end of the Star Wars movies without murdering each other?
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah, the end of the Lucas era, rather.
Right. And some would say the true Star Wars movies, but I don't believe that.
From a certain point of view.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, let's get to it then. We are discussing minute 131, Palindrome of Revenge of the Sith. It starts off with Obi-Wan asking Yoda, training? And it ends a minute later with Pooja Nibiri at the funeral of Padme.
I do kind of wish that when Obi-Wan said training, then it cut to a training montage.
Oh, totally.
Obi-Wan, you know, like pulling a sled in the snow and kind of running up some steps. And
Yoda in the backpack.
Right. Shaking his head no a couple of times, and then finally kind of like a nod of you know, surprised approval. Like,
Yeah, so Yoda has told him that he got a message from our old friend Qui-Gon. And, yeah.
Well, he phrases it, he doesn't, again, Yoda, I love how Yoda does this. He just kind of like gives some information and lets people guess.
Yeah, why did he do it? Why was he playing coy? Why didn't he just say, oh, Qui-Gon, he's around.
Right. You don't know. Well, I think because it works later when you know, well, when Obi-Wan does it, I guess. So, but you know, when they're hiding Marie, And they're saying, you know, like, oh, like Luke is like, Leia's my sister, and they're like, sure. Yeah. You know, they just give him all the hints and let him draw his own conclusion.
Well, let me go one further. Why didn't Yoda do it would have been perfect presentation where he would have said, oh, an old friend, he's going to be training you. Training? And then he goes, yes. And he just spun his chair around slightly and he would have just shown up. Why couldn't they just have Liam Neeson come as a Force ghost at that moment?
Well, it is weird. I thought for sure he was going to show up as some kind of cameo or something.
Cameo!
I mean, there are scenes in this movie written for him. He had dialogue that was cut, so I think they couldn't either. I don't know if it was scheduling or prestige that
he
wasn't going to show up. Because there was the earlier, when Yoda was meditating, that's when you first hear Qui-Gon talking to Yoda. And then here they kind of reference that, in the dialogue. There's some dialogue that's not here, when he says, you know, Yoda's like, oh, we've talked to somebody like your old master. Well, first of all, I wanted Obi-Wan to be. I looked it up. I was like, did Obi-Wan have any other masters? Because it would be great if he was like, you know, Obi-Wan. You know, Yoda was like, oh, yeah, I talked to someone, your old master, and Obi-Wan was like, Vant? And Vant was a Twi'lek who was his like grade school teacher essentially in the Jedi Temple.
Wow!
And Obi-Wan starts like looking under chairs. Vant, is Vant here? Vant, hi!
Come on out, you old rascal!
But then Yoda says, "The secret of the ancient order of the Wills he's studied."
Hmm.
And Obi-Wan says, "Oh well, I will be able to talk with him." And Yoda says, how to join the Force, he will train you. Your consciousness you will retain when one with the Force, even your physical self, perhaps.
Hmm.
And so those bits of dialogue are not there, but that is referencing kind of like when Qui-Gon actually did have dialogue with Yoda in an earlier scene that was just not... I don't know what happened.
Hmm. So it seems like the thing with Force ghosts is that there is an increasing level of... ability to interact with the real world, because like Qui-Gon is just like, you know, a voice. He never physically manifests himself, whereas Obi-Wan was able to physically manifest himself, like visually manifest himself, but other than sitting on a log, he seemed more like a ghost than a physical thing. But then Yoda, meanwhile, when he comes back as a Force ghost, you know, he could call lightning down and do all hit Luke with a cane and everything. So he's like the most physical of all the Jedis.
Now, wait, but so that evolves with Obi-Wan too, right? Because at first in Star Wars, he's just a voice.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
In the beginning of Empire, he's able to kind of create like a ghostly, a really pale ghostly image, and then goes back to just being a voice, right? Do we see Ghost Obi-Wan at the end? I'm getting my Dagobah scenes confused between Empire and Jedi.
Well, he comes back in Jedi. That's when he definitely shows up as a ghost and sits down on the log with him in Jedi.
Right. But Obi-Wan isn't there. Is he there as a, like telling him not to go to Cloud City as a physical?
Yes, he is.
He is. Okay.
Yes.
I thought so, but you know, doing these movies like this totally washes out, like, old... It's so hard to remember like, stuff from... Even though it's only, like, you know, 2.5 movies, whatever, 3 movies ago. Yeah. 3.5 movies ago. It seems like, you know, forever, because it's like, that many years ago.
I guess my other question is, how long do Force ghosts live? Like at long why time. Why isn't Ben Kenobi in The Last Jedi? Like, at that point, is he just like, you know, I'm tired of this. You go off and talk to him, Yoda.
I'm sure there's...
He was busy with someone else. I'm sure there's other people the Force Ghost wants to talk to other than Luke.
Yeah, it's probably... He's haunting... who's that lady that he got involved with from the Clone Wars or from
Saltine.
Yeah, he's going, he's haunting her. And Yoda called him. He's like, hey, I'm going to go check on Luke. You want to come? He's like, no, I got a headache. Maybe next time.
He's working in a haunted house somewhere.
How awesome would it be?
It's a living.
How awesome would it be to see Kenobi's Force ghost show up at Walrus Man's house? Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, I was going to say the reason why Obi-Wan doesn't show up is that he's probably still like embarrassed about the whole thing. I guess he did show up at the end of Jedi at least, but
yeah. Well, he had to like once he helped resolve the problem. Mm-hmm. Then they were like, "All right, well, now that it's over with, we're going to punish you." So you Force Ghost status revoked.
Yeah, now the mission was accomplished.
Right.
Qui-Gon does show up in the Clone Wars at the very end of the Clone Wars. I guess they basically took a lot of the stuff that was supposed to be here, and they show Yoda interacting with Qui-Gon in the Clone Wars, and he's voiced by Liam Neeson. So
yeah, maybe it was just at the time he didn't want to do it anymore.
Or well, maybe it was legitimately cut for artistic purposes.
Yeah.
When did that movie Taken come out? Maybe he started becoming real big and he was like, you know, I don't need to do this kind of work anymore. I got my own movies going on.
I got the Dracula franchise.
I don't know. That was supposed is he Irish? That was an Irish accent.
Oh, yeah. He was Irish Dracula.
I think I remember when Phantom Menace came out, they mentioned that he had signed a 3-picture contract. So if they wanted to bring him back, he had to come back. But apparently I guess he could have renegotiated out of that. But
Yeah.
So this whole scene, obviously, it feels a lot like tying up loose ends. Like, oh, okay, we didn't say how. Because if you were watching this in order, like if you started with episode one, and like you're suddenly, it's a huge amount of stuff being in the space of a few minutes happening. That, you know, I think if you were watching this in order, you'd need more time to process. Then
right,
that dot is connected. Okay, we can move on. You know,
this is the cinematic equivalent of kind of getting played off the stage while doing your Oscars speech, but you still have people to thank. Like, and he's getting to the end of the movie, and he's like, "Oh, and you can become one with the Force and come back as a ghost, and then I gave the babies to Alderaan, and thank you."
Coming up, George Clooney.
So, do you think that scene is there because Lucas thought at this point, I'm not making any more of these, so I might as well just tie these loose ends up.
Yeah. Oh, well, he definitely thought he wasn't making it anymore.
Right. That's...
Yeah.
And I mean, he was all, you know, the prequels are all about kind of over explaining things. So I guess he was worried, like, well, if I don't explain every single how we get to every single detail, you know, like the idea, like somebody's going to be confused as to how Obi-Wan, you know, learned by meditating over the next, you know, 18 years. Nobody's going to know that that's how he, you know, figured out how to be a Force ghost if we don't have somebody tell him how to be a Force ghost.
Hmm. How to be a Force ghost.
Right. Force ghost for dummies.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was reminded of, I guess this Francis Ford Coppola once said that when he was shooting movies, he would film extra scenes of people talking on the telephone. Right. So you couldn't see their mouths, so that if when you were editing the movie together, you realized you had forgot to include a key piece of information, so you can have that person talking on the phone and saying what needed to be explained to the audience. and I guess Yoda is kind of like that, because Yoda is CGI, so you can kind of make him say, you know.
Oh, that's true.
Like whatever you want, really. So.
like scenes in the middle, like, Yoda, what are you doing here? Tell you I have to. And he's got like a little like clipboard, and he's like.
Yeah.
poor Frank Oz. He keeps getting those calls. He's like, George, this is the last. I'm not doing any more scene. I'm not redoing this scene again.
You know, I just realized also, I was going to say, this is the last time we see Yoda. But it's literally the last time we see CGI Yoda, because the next time we see Yoda, he's back to being a puppet again.
Yeah.
So everyone... I think CGI Yoda was okay. I think they did a great job with him. I mean, he's convincing as a character, you know.
Yeah, I think his being a strong character helps. I mean, it's like anything else with stars. If you look too hard, then you're just like, oh, this is just, oh.
I think we learned that way too late.
But yeah, so, but I mean, I think he looks fine, you know.
Yeah, of course we all like Puppet Yoda the best.
Is it our age?
Empire Puppet Yoda, that's the thing.
Yeah. Empire Puppet Yoda. I'll even go Empire Puppet Yoda, Last Jedi Puppet Yoda, Return of the Jedi Puppet Yoda.
And pretty good?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Although that wasn't
the first... Oh, and then, of course, Phantom Menace Puppet Yoda.
Oh, yeah, Phantom Menace Puppet Yoda was not good.
Yeah, like it goes, you know, Empire Puppet Yoda, Last Jedi Puppet Yoda, Return of the Jedi Puppet Yoda, that little hand puppet Yoda that Kenner sold in the in the 80s, early 80s, then Phantom Menace Puppet Yoda.
Yeah. I was going to say Empire Puppet Yoda, Last Jedi Puppet Yoda, Return of the Jedi Puppet Yoda, Miss Piggy, and then... Phantom Menace Puppet Yoda. And then, Yaddle, and then Phantom Menace.
Was Yaddle a puppet also?
Oh, yes.
That was the first one, right? Okay.
Yeah.
She's a woman.
Yeah, some people were speculating that was the first draft of the Yoda puppet. And then they're like, it doesn't look enough like Yoda, so let's just put a wig on it and say, it's Mrs. Yoda.
If you don't like it, better put a wig on it.
I guess this is the last time we see Yoda. Everyone, Yoda's last day of shooting. Everyone say goodbye to Yoda.
But first day of shooting for Captain Antilles.
Captain Antilles.
Who we heard of.
We've seen? Yeah, he's the guy who gets choked at the beginning of he's the very first person we see Vader kill.
Right. Now is that canonically Captain Antilles?
I think based on everything I looked at Wikipedia, it's that's him.
Wait,
that's
Wikipedia or Wikipedia?
Wikipedia.
Okay.
Slurred it together. in fact, there's three different actors have played Captain Antilles over the years.
Not counting
whoever dubbed his voice. In episode 3, you have Rohan Nickel, who was an Australian actor born on the 4th of July, 1976. He should have been American with that birthday. And interestingly, confusingly, apparently they offered the role of Captain Antilles to Dennis Lawson, who played Wedge Antilles.
Oh, boy.
But they're not related, these characters. That...
Oh, wow.
but apparently Dennis Lawson wasn't interested, so they said, okay, we'll just give it to Rohan Nickel. I hadn't heard it either. Who knows? It might be just internet. It's on the Wikipedia though, so it's canonical.
I'm going to tell you, when I watched this minute, the moment Captain Antilles came onto the screen, he said his first line, and I had to rewind it or go back because I had to hear his line. I listened to it 5 times. And I swear, he says, yes, your harness.
Well, maybe that's the title in Alderaan. You don't know.
Or maybe he's talking about that thing on his head.
He wasn't talking to his... He looked up and just happened to say harness. And then
yeah.
Yes, your harness.
Yes, your harness. I mean, highness. Sorry.
Highness.
I bet he was talking with that other guy and he's like, do you think he'll notice my new head harness? Like, no. Should I ask him? No. Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up.
Oh my god.
He blurts it right out and then afterwards he's like, I'm such a jerk. I'm so stupid.
Stupid. Yes, your harness. I mean, my harness.
In Star Wars Episode 4, an actor named Peter Geddes is the first guy we see Darth Vader murdered. Sure. British actor. Puzzlingly, no mention of Star Wars on his IMDb page other than his picture being him being choked by Darth Vader.
Huh. He's embarrassed. And the street people still, hey, you're the guy who got choked by Vader. Screw off. Loser. Hey,
what are you on, a diplomatic mission?
Or he's throwing him up against walls and stuff. Yeah.
He's like, no more. I'm taking this off my IMDb page.
He received this transmission. Beating him up.
Smacked in the face.
Why are they so mad at him?
I don't know.
No, like open-handed smacking him in the face.
Oh, it is funny because he was like a lot of these guys. He was like he'd been in, like Shakespeare, the Royal Shakespeare Company and stuff. Ah. But yet he will be remembered forever as the guy who gets choked and thrown against a water heater in Star Wars. And finally, the last appearance of Captain Antilles. Anyone want to take a guess?
The last appearance of Captain Antilles.
Well, not chronologically, but...
Brad Pitt? Was it Brad Pitt?
In episode... Yes, Brad Pitt played...
in the Rogue One.
Rogue One, that's right. He was. Tim Beckman played...
Tim Beckman.
Captain Antilles. He did a lot of video game voices, including one for the much-maligned Battlefront. So there you go. So everyone makes a big deal about recasting Han Solo. No one gives a thought to Captain Antilles, who was probably even dubbed by a different actor in Star Wars. So there's probably actually four actors who played him all together.
And there's also whoever played him, because he plays a larger role in the radio drama too.
Oh right, yeah.
Which is not, of course, canon, but
right. Still counts.
Yeah, I'd like to have a. He's nowhere near. Ironically, like what is it with people named Antilles that like they need multiple actors to play them?
So, it's like, a big role.
Four wedges and a few.
Four wedges for Captain Antilles. Speaking of Captain Antilles, those outfits are very Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, totally.
They do not look like military outfits in the slightest.
No, they look like they should be playing some weird future sport.
Yeah, it almost seems more like Logan's Run or Buck Rogers or something. Even
Logan's
more
Run, exactly.
Yeah, so Tony, do you remember, when you first saw this, the return of the iconic Tantive III hallway here, were you like, oh, that's from Star Wars?
Yes, I certainly was. Actually, I have to admit, I didn't go back five times to listen to Captain Antilles. I wanted to watch R2-D2 and C-3PO walk down that hallway, because that is literally is the antithesis of Star Wars for me. That's what made me fall in love with the movies, when I saw those shiny robots.
Like the shiny golden man.
Yeah, coming down a stark white hallway. I was like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
Yeah.
So I did have to watch it five times. And as I was watching it, I heard him say, yes, your harness.
Yeah.
I wrote
Rogue One chills again. I think. Did I write that for this minute, or was it a later minute? Because I get that with, Rogue One really dug into that, of doing the kind of like, look, here's all the stuff that you liked from Star Wars, like especially, in the third act. And so that happened once or twice, when they were on this ship before.
Yeah.
And so now this is another example of that kind of like, here you go. Like, here's, here's the hallway, here's Captain Antilles, here's R2-D2 and C-3PO walking down the hallway, like it's all
I know it was fun to watch.
It's like, here's your Star Wars.
Exactly.
And I guess playing the, instead of Princess Leia, we have Bail Organa as the
right
as the Organa on call.
The Organa of record.
Yeah, and so we do see Golden Tony and R2-D2. The last time we'll see them in this in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And C-3PO gets the last line in the of the George Lucas era.
Yeah, which is appropriate because he had the first. Right?
Yeah.
Ring theory.
You know what I was thinking is kind of funny about that is that the last thing last dialogue in Star Wars is memory being erased. And, like, if you watch them in episode order, it starts from right after he had his memory, not right after, but, you know, the first time we see him is after he's had his memory erased. And so all that, that's why the prequels were made last, because, does that make any sense? We're in the same boat that C-3PO is at the beginning of Star Wars, and we don't know what happened before all this.
Yeah.
We're just piecing it together as we go.
Right. That would
so
be...
is it best for us to all have our memories wiped after we watch?
Oh, I wish. Easy joke.
That was easy.
And although why...
Revengeous is for me, I'm sorry, of the three, Revengeous is the best one of the three prequels.
Yeah.
That's all I had to say about that. Sorry.
Should we do a ranking now or should we hold on to that? Let's hold on to that.
Okay, I apologize.
No, I was tempted to just go into it now, but well, here's a question. Let me counter that with a question that has nothing to do with that. Why C-3PO's memory wiped and not R2-D2's? Have we talked about?
Yeah,
this?
That's
R2-D2 snickered.
Yeah, he laughed at the idea of his memory being erased.
He hates C-3PO.
Like, oh, maybe when you reset him, he'll have come up with a better personality.
Yeah.
It's about time.
That would have been awesome if they had C-3PO talking with a completely different voice all throughout the prequels, and then you only find out that that's something at the very end of a because he had his memory erased.
See, I would like that too. Like,
oh, totally.
If it, you know, because that would make it make more sense to have, you know, like Anakin when Anakin was like, oh, I built a protocol droid to help Mon Mif, and it was just like a weirder, droid that wasn't, you know, it wasn't quite as like together as C-3PO or whatever.
Yeah,
And then have it go through the whole thing, and then at the end they do this, and then have him have like a Darth Vader kind of scene, like rise up on the table. Hello, I'm C-3PO, human cyborg relations.
Comes out of the oil bath.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't erase R2's memory. The only thing I can think of is that no one understands him, so there's no risk of him blurting stuff out. But it seems like if C-3PO understands him, then it's not going to take too long for you know, for it to get out. But
maybe it has to do with his vulnerability compared to R2. Doesn't seem to have the same vulnerability. He's not giving up any information. He'll die with whatever he knows.
That's true. Well, he's going to surrender at the drop of a hat.
At any moment he's like, oh yes, they're right there, they're right there.
They've gone down to the prison level.
Oh yeah, yeah, he really does just at any point.
Meanwhile, R2's like, why are you even on this mission? Why do I cannot get rid of you.
So I'm assuming that since in The Last Jedi we see that he still has the that old hologram message, I'm assuming R2's memory was not erased in between the motion picture and The Last Jedi.
No, yeah.
We don't know if it was erased. We don't know if it was erased prior, in between episodes 3 and 4.
No.
I guess we assume not, because why would they specifically say just erase that one and not that one if they're both ultimately going to be erased? So I guess we can assume.
Like, if anything, story-wise, it would make more sense if Obi-Wan's memory got erased between episodes 3 and 4. He doesn't seem to recall ever owning a droid. He has, like, these weird kind of, you know, like, incorrect memories of Darth Vader and
I think that's a side effect of communicating with someone from the nether world, is that it kind of eats away at your brain stem. He also says to clean them up. Have these two droids cleaned up.
They look really clean right now.
It's like how much more
incredibly
clean.
Shiny, yes.
Yeah.
It's like that Mr. Yeah. Burns and Don Mattingly thing where he's like, yeah. clean them up? All right. So he makes them even shinier.
like a little bow tie and cuffs on.
One thing that really surprised me watching this minute was the size disparity between Golden Tony and Space Jimmy Smits. Space Jimmy Smits towers at 6'3", and Golden Tony is a shrunken 5'9".
Hmm.
Man.
It's 6 inches.
I picture him as being tall.
Golden Tony?
Yeah.
I guess because he's thin.
Yeah, right. He's real thin. But, I mean, what's his name's big. He's a big-chested guy anyway. He's big.
Space Jimmy?
Yeah, he can easily, like, with one fist, you can just punch Golden Tony right in the mouth.
Like,
punch Captain Antilles.
Oh, yeah. He should have, actually.
Well, that's why Captain Antilles has that harness on.
You know, it's like a sparring helmet.
Yeah.
Yes, your harness. What did you call me?
Wait, Pete, were you going to say that he smashes Golden Tony's face and you see Golden Tony beneath it? You see, smashes 3PO's face and you see...
it's like the Magic Cave dream. His head opens and you see Golden Tony looking startled.
He's like, wipe his memory and get that guy out of there, for crazy. Put in an actual droid.
Oh, no. Like, how awesome would it be if they revealed that all droids actually did have people in them? I think we've mentioned that idea before.
That would be great. That would be so great.
It's a scam that Cybot Galactica is running, or Sirius Cybernetics Corporation, or who? Yeah,
it's cheaper to buy slaves and make them into robots. they're all like marked down clones that it
right
stuck around.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, so last time we see 3PO, one other thing I learned is that apparently 3PO has flashes despite having his memory erased, he sometimes has flashes from his old, like he had a thing seeing, Anakin as a small boy in his mind. I don't know what the context was for this or whether they're just trying to patch up someone did a story where modern 3PO mentioned child Anakin, and they're like, oh, right. He gets flashbacks from time to time. But that's even more terrifying, the fact that you suddenly are having these memories have no way that you got them. And then
I think I'm having deja vu. Meanwhile, R2-D2 is snickering the whole time.
Oh, really? What are you thinking? Oh, who's this kid? Who's it?
He's like, oh, did you have that dream where we were at a pod race and the he's like, yes, how did you know? It's like there was like a little Greedo there and it was weird.
Where are your Greedo holograms, 3PO? Where are your holograms?
I like the idea that he uses Greedo as the, like, everyone knows who Greedo is.
Right.
Greedo. Yeah, so the end of the Tantive 3. See you in Rogue One next.
Well, we see the outside later.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so, the outside. But
goodbye to the hallway. Goodbye to the corridor.
Yeah. Yeah, Rogue One. This is something else about Rogue One. Oh, well. Oh, and Space Jimmy Smits. Next time we see him in the next scene. So. Or coming up, so we don't have to worry about that. So the next scene, Are we going to say something else?
Yeah, I was going to go to the next bit, which is you see the beginning of Padme's funeral procession.
Oh, yes.
And you see people that you hadn't seen in any movie before because they got cut out. Mm-hmm. Cut straight to like, oh, look at these mourning strangers. But it turns out they're Padme's parents.
Oh, mourning strangers. And the little girl we see at the end is Padme's niece, Pooja.
Oh.
Pooja.
Huh. Does she become the queen now or the princess?
No, she does wind up becoming a senator, of course, because
okay.
Senator is the that's the next most populous job besides bounty hunter is senator.
Hmm.
A lot of senators.
Well, it's that whole the chamber that we saw.
That's true. There were a lot of senators.
That whole thing.
When this funeral scene comes on, I have to say it's very pretty looking. It's very moody. They really did a good job of making it look very, very somber.
The procession funeral.
The procession and the whole city seeing it in the background. It was very well done. It looked pretty.
Yeah, it looks kind of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
I mean, and not in a bad way. It's interesting.
I was reminded of Theed, and it reminded me of the death toll being catastrophic. And I could be wrong, but I think Padme might be the only human we see die on dead on Naboo. Oh, I guess Qui-Gon dies on Naboo. Those are the only two bookends.
Right.
All right. So, anything else for minute 131?
Nope. This kind of continues into tomorrow, so... Well, Tony, can you come back tomorrow?
I'll try. I can't give you any answers right now, but other than I don't know.
Boy.
It's going to be a great episode then, tomorrow. You're going to be like... So, like who's don't this know. Guy here? I don't know. Tony, when did you first see this? I don't know.
I don't remember. No, I will do my best to be there.
All right. Well, that's all we can ask. Yes. So guess what? Everyone, the hiatus is coming up, and so you won't be hearing us so much anymore. But you still can on our solo podcast. We're not going to do our solo podcast for a couple of years
For like 3 years.
Yeah, but, well, Pete, I didn't want to tell you, I'm starting a solo podcast this summer.
But not about the movie.
No.
I apologize.
No.
My asthma's acting up. I'm sorry.
I rank different guitar solos throughout music history.
Nice!
And it's because they're competing against each other, and these are all rock stars, I'm going to call it Solo Star Wars Stories. So, but anyway, we do also other podcasts.
It's going to be confusing.
Depends on your font. Let's see your font. I'll stick with it.
Okay. And Harrison Ford is my co-host. Oh, so I don't know if that's big news. Yes, we do. Pete and I have podcasts. We do separate from each other, but equal. I do a little podcast called Godfather Minute, which is just like this, except it's about Goodfellas. And Pete does ABC Devo, in which they go through the entire Devo album catalog alphabetically, song by song.
That's fantastic.
And so check those out at godfatherminute.com and abcdevo.com. And we'll be back tomorrow with StarWarsMinute.com.
Star Wars Minute.
StarWarsMinute.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.